Hello and welcome to the B Team podcast. My name is John Macy. Tonight I'm joined by Milos.
Hello, hello.
And Justin Ayotte. What was that? Huh?
That was a meow.
Okay, I caught half of it.
We can't hear you, Justin. Out. You're not counting.
You can't hear me.
You're not coming through. Now we can.
No, that one thing you just did didn't come through very well.
The meow didn't even register.
No, it says okay. It's my look microphone.
No, we can hear you now. You're fine.
Yeah.
So we are here to, as anybody paying attention would know, the Oscar nominations came out a couple days ago. So the three of us and Sarah, if she feels like chiming in, are here to just give our thoughts on some of them. We will most likely will not hit every category. There are some that are just like the equivalent of watching paint dry. I just don't see any reason for that. But I think between the three of us, we do have some thoughts on those things and can get at least a decent conversation out of it. So where would we like to start?
Harvey Sucks.
Picture, I guess.
Why it's an Oscar movie. Oh, all right. We were just going by categories.
I mean, right. Yeah, I figured we can go by categories and then that'll spring out of, that'll get discussion on each one or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, yes.
I'm gonna be fully honest with you.
Let's just get it out of the way because I do think it's going to come up just because I see everybody pissing and moaning about Barbie not getting something for Margot Robbie and something for Greta Gerwig. And, you know, not to be a chauvinist dick because I think most people who listen to this show know that I'm not that. But seriously, shut the fuck up. It's a toy ad. Get over yourselves. Gosling shouldn't even have a nomination for this movie. That should have gone to Efron for the Iron Claw.
You know what? I think Gosling needs to win. Because you know what?
Yeah.
But I feel like a 10.
For him, I would think it's more of a career achievement move than for anybody else.
You imagine? What? Career achievement. Yeah. You won an Oscar for Barbie.
Playing right, but 10. He's had other things that he conceivably could have won for, and he didn't.
So, I know, but still, it's like, you know.
Yeah. But imagine trying your whole acting career, the majority of your acting career, you're trying to get the Oscar, and finally pull one for Barbie.
With, like, actual
art. It's not
with,
like you're getting it forever, and it's like you got it for
it's
Barbie.
It's like a ring case.
Yeah,
trying
a ring.
Oh, you know, joining you know on what to it's like it's like winning the in season
three. Oh,
and
you're only
putting
bitter.
The banner up.
You're only bitter because your team only came close to that, as opposed to Brendan's team.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't want my team to hang the banner. I'm sorry, he's just
that's true.
Not cool. Man.
You don't hang a banner for that shit. You just don't, especially not a team like the Lakers.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing,
that's the LeBron
my whole thing
effect.
Is just like Barbie is not a best. Barbie is not an Oscar level movie, and that's fine. It was fine for what it is, but it doesn't need. We don't need to have this like rant about Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie and whatever. Like Gerwig also had a significant accomplishment in this Oscars, even if she wasn't nominated. I mean, she. I think I read somewhere she's the only director in history. Have her first three movies all get Best Picture nods. I mean, Lady Bird, Little Women, and this. So that's got to count for something.
Well,
so
it makes sense for those other two because they're like artsy films and they're like things that the Academy like tries to, you know, push as like award winner, you know, with my air quotes. You know, but it's like this one was basically just like. Barbie is essentially like the toy version of like the Avengers. And so it would be like if everybody was pushing for like the Avengers to be an Oscar winning movie, which the only people who were doing that were like us. You know, the only time we cared about it was like with Black Panther. And then they tried doing it again with like Ms. Marvel. You know what I mean?
And
anything
I,
that had a an agenda attached to it, you know, which is kind of
that actually brings up a decent point I was going to make if we got to this. Like, I think one of the, I'm all for the 10 film expansion for the Best Picture thing, but I do think it's led to a certain number of, let's call them box checking nominations, where like these things are not deserving of this, but we're going to put them here anyway, just because, you know, we have the slots and there might be certain boxes that we would check. I would argue that, like the first one that I can think of, and you know, Milo, she might reach through the computer and slap me, and Brendan definitely would if he was here. But like Up and Avatar were box checks. Black Panther, as much as I like it, Black Panther was a box check. If that was any sort of, you know, if Black Panther is Best Picture level, then every Marvel first movie should be Best Picture level because they're all the same.
Well, here's the thing, and believe it or not, I kind of agree with you that while I immensely liked it, and I'm still going to preach that it's the best movie of the year last year when it came out, the thing when you banded it to 10, you kind of diluted the field because you don't take into account the fact that you maybe don't have 10 movies that are deserving of the Best Picture now. Like, okay, for example, you talked about Barbie, but Maestro is on there. Like, I would never give that movie a Best Picture nomination. Bradley Cooper was amazing. You know, like, dude, the acting was great, but the movie itself, I would never give the Oscar nomination for it. So, like, the thing is, you're in theory, you're looking into a year where you don't have 10 movies that are deserving of the nomination, and you have to check the 10 boxes. Yeah. So, and you're going to fill it in with diversity stuff and stuff that doesn't necessarily deserve to be there.
Yep. Which, with that in mind,
you know, like, and I will say, like, previously, there have been years when there have been 10 movies that are deserving of the nomination. Because then, like, when you have 10 movies that are worthy of it, and you only got 5, like, yeah, you kind of left 5 out, but now when you have 10, but only 5 deserve it, like, you have 5 who don't even need to be there.
Yep. With that in mind, let's start with the Best Picture list, and then we'll have our discussion about that one at least. I'm going to run them off, and then if anyone has seen these things, we can just mention it. And this is in, I assume, alphabetical order. American Fiction, which I know Josh saw. Anybody else?
I haven't seen it, but I do want to see it. I just don't know if I'm going to see
it. I'm planning on it.
So because it had a weird theater release, so it's like it doesn't even play in Croatia. Yeah. I can't even watch it in the movie theater. I have to wait for the digital release. It's weird.
It did open here. It's about to in our theater of preference, but I don't want to go without her, and she's just about to leave the country, so I'm going to have to wait on that one. Anatomy of a Fall, I'm not even sure what that is, but I'll look it up later. Barbie, which I know a couple of us have seen, and we kind of have our thoughts on that already. Holdovers, which I know we have all seen, and we plan on reviewing that in the near future. Killers of the Flower Moon, which I have seen.
Close, right? I have seen.
Yet, but I am it's on the list, and it's something that me and both want to watch. So it's on, I think it's on Apple TV already.
It is, yeah.
So we'll plan on trying to weekend or sometime next week to try to watch it.
And review that then. Maestro, which I know Milos and I have seen.
I got about 10-15 minutes into it, and I'm like, I am not staying up another like 2 hours to watch this. I just couldn't do it.
I'm surprised you made it that far.
Maybe I'll get back to it and try to push myself through it. But yeah, I could not deal with that much of it. I was like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, it's definitely not my type of movie.
I'm surprised you made it that far. Oppenheimer, which I've seen, and Milos, I'm betting you've seen it.
Yeah.
I have not seen Oppenheimer yet, and I do plan on watching it at some point. It just it's not something that I've had the time to dedicate to. Because the problem is that these movies are like 3 hours long, 3.5 hours long, and you know, I gotta figure out.
You all know the time. You don't have the time span for that.
I don't. I don't got the attention span.
Past Lives, which I think is some sort of South Korean thing. Brendan loved it, apparently.
Yeah, Brendan loved it. Yeah,
it's,
I don't know.
It's actually on my watch list. I just didn't get to it. But yeah.
It's on mine too.
It sounds interesting, the whole idea behind the movie. Yep. So I'm actually optimistic about it.
Yeah. Poor Things, which is on my list to see. I just haven't yet.
Yeah, that poster looked weird. I don't even think I saw a trailer for it, but I saw the poster and I was like, what the fuck is this?
It's basically a Frankenstein movie with Emma Stone.
Pass.
Directed by the guy who did like The Lobster and all that stuff. And
Willem Dafoe, if I'm not mistaken.
Ruffalo, yeah. Something called The Zone of Interest, which I have no idea what that is.
It's like Auschwitz during Second World War or something, I think.
Oh, great. Okay. Oh, yeah.
That would have made me seem like an asshole. So I'm going to put that back in the thing.
That's going to be real high on my list, unless I actually want to be depressed. Okay. So I guess the first question would be, for you guys, is there anything that you would... any snubs you're aware of that you would replace something in here with something that you think should be in this list?
Well, I mean,
I can't really point to anything else. I know Iron Claw was something that people have discussed as being snubbed, but again, it didn't play here, so I didn't see it. So I can't talk about it really. But this is one of the years, as I mentioned, like you have to check 10 boxes and you just don't have 10 movies that are worthy of it.
Right.
But honestly, obviously I'm not a fan of Barbie. So I would, honestly, that one and Holdovers are really the only two movies I've seen on this list. Holdovers 100% deserves to be on this list. And if I had any say in it, I would probably just give that to them. Even though I haven't seen the other ones. I would definitely take Barbie off, and I would probably replace it with something like Tetris or The Creator. I know John Wick or Super Mario Brothers wouldn't really be like something that they would like take into account, but something like The Creator or Tetris would be something that they would probably be willing to put into an Oscar nomination because of the seriousness of some of it. So I would try to replace it with something like that as opposed to having Barbie there. Or if you want to go with a commercial movie, why not go with John Wick or Super Mario Brothers? Like if that's what that spot is for a commercial movie, put Super Mario Brothers in there, you know?
Yeah, I could see that if that's the logic. Yeah. So Milos, you had no immediate replacements?
No.
Okay, I mean, I personally would, and just for reference, I've of these 10.
Maybe bouncing off of what Justice said, Jovic, deserving of the spot in there more than I think. Yeah, because I mean, I'm looking at my list, so like these are the movies that I watched and going through that list. Honestly, Ferrari deserving of a spot there. John Wick definitely deserving of the spot there. Like off the top of my head, those are the two movies that I'll definitely put in there. Something that's worth the Oscar nominations based off like just being the best movie. I would definitely put Ferrari in there.
I would probably now again for reference of the 10 on this list. I have seen Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, and Oppenheimer. So I would most likely, and without really being able to comment on the ones I haven't seen yet, I would remove Barbie and Maestro and replace them with the Iron Claw for Ferrari. Just because I thought Maestro was deathly boring. Cooper's performance was great, but it's not a Best Picture level film.
By far.
And
just doesn't stack up.
And we have our thoughts on Barbie on the record already, so I'm not going to go into that again. And for me, and the next thing I was going to ask is, who do you think the actual winner off this list is going to be? I'm guessing this and a lot of things are going to go to Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
So, Oppenheimer. Yeah, my guess is Oppenheimer.
I don't see, maybe Killers of the Flower Moon has a decent shot. But honestly, I think Oppenheimer is of the 10 that they put on this list. Oppenheimer's where it's at, man. Pure and simple. Yeah. I think he's a bit.
And Justin, Justin, I encourage you to make predictions, even though you haven't seen most of these, and for no other reason than they'll be hilarious.
So first, I want to preamble this with, you guys know my thoughts on the Oscars in general. I think it's a waste of time. I think the people who give out these awards don't actually do it because the films are good or because of the quality of it. They do it because of political reasons, money reasons, people they know, handshake deals, shit like that. So the whole Oscar thing is bullshit, in my opinion. With that being said, Barbie is going to win Best Picture because it's the most popular one. It's the most, like, you know, feeds into their politics. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of people involved who like handshake deals and stuff. It's going to be great. They're going to have Margot Robbie up there. They're going to have Greta Gerwig up there. And they're going to be like, see, we should have been nominated for the other stuff. Now we have the Best Picture. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And that's what's going to end up happening. It's going to be pink balloons. It's going to be pink confetti. They're going to throw Ryan Gosling in the back because they don't want people to say how much he was like the show stealer anymore, because he's the guy in the movie, but he was probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. But, was. Yeah. If Barbie wins, I'm slightly higher on the whole Oscar thing than you are. Like, I still have vestiges of giving a shit. If Barbie wins, it'll be the last year I ever give a crap, most likely. Just because
every time I watch these things, I'm like, why are these people getting these? Why, first of all, why are these nominated? And second of all, like, why are you giving them awards? Where, like, granted, sure, I may not have seen all of the things, and I may not have the expertise to tell you if something was like greatly shot or not. But
yep,
I can tell you that a lot of the other shit that they don't put on there was probably better than most of the shit I saw that were nominated. You know,
why are you watching the Oscars to begin with? It's just people patting themselves on the back and making a show of it. For me, it's like, yeah. I'm not a fan of award show. I think it's useless. I think it's Oscars go on for like, what, 3-4 hours?
Yeah. I
get the whole red carpet and everything, like, we dress up and there's dresses and suits and whatever. But it's like, it's pointless and useless.
Yeah. I usually don't watch it. I just look at a winner list after.
Same.
I will make Josh's argument that he just makes when we talk about Oscar stuff. His whole thing, and I do kind of agree with him, is it's not, you know, they don't generally care about, like, more popular/populist movies because it's an industry award thing. It just happens to be put on television. So, like, within that industry, those awards are important, but, like, to the average person, does the average person give a fuck? No. But they just happen to, you know, ABC or whoever wants to put it on TV because all the famous people are in one room. You know? So it's kind of, I kind of agree with them. Yeah. All right. So next big one on the list I have in front of me is Best Actor. Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Coleman Domingo for a Netflix movie called Rustin, which I've never seen. I'm vaguely aware of it. It's something having to do with some guy who was big in the civil rights movement in the 60s. Corey and I are hoping to watch that at some point in the near future. Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Is there anyone you would swap out of here based on what you've seen this year?
Not necessarily. Again, going back,
okay.
I think the only one that I didn't see American Fiction, and I didn't see Rustin, so I can't talk to the validity of those nominations. One thing that I would add on there is Adam Driver, just because he did a fantastic job playing Enzo Ferrari. But I do believe I do believe that Bradley Cooper, Cillian Murphy, and Paul Giamatti are all deserving of their nominations. So I'm again didn't see Rustin or American Fiction, so I can't talk about that one. But I'd find a way to squeeze Adam Driver in there.
Yeah. Justin?
Yeah, so basically I only saw one of these five movies. So I don't really know how well everybody else was. I mean, obviously, I loved Paul Giamatti's performance in the Holdovers. I talked about it in the Best Of show we did. I mean, you know, the only thing I would really try to do is let me take a look here at my list and see if anything jogs my memory. We need to remove Bradley Cooper, and we need to put in... Dave Bautista for Knock at the Cabin. I think it was a terrific performance. It was great.
He was very good in that, but I'm not sure it's on that level.
He was actually really good in that movie, but I'm just trying to think of like...
You haven't seen a lot of the stuff, so that's what you're here for. That's cool.
He was great. He was fantastic. Okay, he was the best.
Huge... Huge performance by a huge man. And okay, he really is huge. You ever see the muscles on this guy? That guy is huge. Okay, he probably fills up a doorway. All right.
Yeah. And for me, I would, as much as I liked Bradley Cooper's performance in Maestro, I think the fact that I didn't really like the movie that much is going to hurt him here. I would take him out for Zac Efron in The Iron Claw. And I would probably, for me, it would be, I mean, obviously just going on what we actually have here and not the hypotheticals, I believe it's a two-horse race between Cillian Murphy and Giamatti. I would actually give it to Giamatti this year because as good as Cillian Murphy is in that movie, I kind of get tired of like, Nolan's whole thing of like everyone's an emotionless robot in every movie I ever make. I mean, Oppenheimer's great. I think Oppenheimer's going to win Best Picture and everything, but I just have trouble giving any actor like particular performance awards in his movies because they're all so flat and so like disaffected. It just kind of gets old. So I'd probably give it to Giamatti this year. What do I have next here?
I'd actually present the counter argument.
Okay, go for it. That's what we're here for.
I think, and I kind of want to dismiss, because again, this is, you know, dismissing Jeffrey Wright and Coleman Domingo off the bat. I think Bradley Cooper may actually win it. Because while Cillian Murphy and seems like an obvious choice, and Paul Giamatti is actually did a better job of acting. I think even Maestro being as bad as it was, as a movie as a whole, I think what Bradley Cooper did in it, acting-wise, stops everything else. Movie was unwatchable. I mean, you watched it, so I think you have similar or same opinion as me. But I think
that movie is most...
Well, yeah, but parts of that movie are totally unwatchable. But at the same time, like, Bradley Cooper does such a fantastic job at it. That he's, like, you know, even though the movie, parts of that movie is totally disinteresting to me, Bradley Cooper is what kept me watching that movie, because at any point I couldn't just stop. But I was like, you know what? I want to see how this thing ends. And he kept me there. Right. I can't really say, like Oppenheimer, I would have watched either way. And I think what Paul Giamatti did with The Holdovers is a lot better acting-wise than what Julian Murphy did. But somehow, I think Bradley Cooper might sneak away with this one.
Right. I guess my whole thing with Cooper is I feel like, you know, he's been in better movies that got where he got nominated that he didn't win for. Like,
I agree.
I would much rather have given him this award for, and I know I'm going to sound like a cheeseball because I don't think many people hold this movie in as high regard as I do for the performances, but I would have much rather given him this award for his version of A Star Is Born than for Maestro. Because what he did in that, to me, was way more impressive than this.
I thought that was a really good movie.
I would agree. But I still think, acting-wise, what he did with Maestro is fantastic and phenomenal. I think he did a splendid job.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, there's a chance he gets it just for the lifetime achievement of it. But don't sleep on Jeffrey Wright. There's a good chance that he could sneak in there if certain people, vote for him or whatever. But I mean,
Paul Giamatti, the minority stakes in it, where he's the, obviously not the middle-aged white male. So there's that factor.
That too, but that movie is like really popular among a lot of like people who would generally vote, for the Oscars and stuff like that. There's been a lot of buzz around that movie, that's not like, popular, let's say.
Well, I'm dying to see it personally.
Honestly, at this point, I couldn't even tell you who's voting for the Oscars anymore, just because I have no idea what the Academy is doing. Then you have voters and expansions and getting more people in. And like, honestly, not that I was interested in all that behind the scenes before, I'm definitely not interested anymore now. So it's like, it's forever, basically, for me. Here we are, like, we're three guys chatting about who might win it or who might not. And we're probably going to be totally off just because the way that the Academy works is whatever is caught at the moment is probably going to get it. And who's doing a better job of acting, directing, or, visual effects has nothing to do with any of it.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
The thing is, like, we're doing this podcast. Really happy we're doing this podcast. I think it's a great conversation to have. But like, we're three of the least interested people in this whole proceeding that I could possibly find. So maybe that makes it better.
I remember at the beginning of this podcast, like, John, you used to be so happy for the Oscars. You used to love talking about it. You used to be like the guy who wanted to like have us do like the show and stuff. And we've brought you to our level. We've sunken you down to the ground and into the soil.
Well, I mean, if you go back and, from when I was in high school and college and stuff, like, I still, you guys know I'm a film collector. I own like 600 movies or whatever, right? And the past Oscar winners that are in my personal collection, like, I still hold those in slightly higher regard than a lot of other movies. It's just now, when you start to see what the thought process behind the voting is, it's like, really? Okay. So I still try to maintain when I'm making my thought processes on it, like, what would I want to see win rather than what do I think the political pressures of it are going to be? But just, you have a decent point in that stuff does play into it. So I'm not trying to disregard that. So on to Best Actress, I guess. Annette Bening for something called Naiad, which I believe is a Netflix biographical film about the American swimmer Diana Naiad. I have not actually watched this yet. Corey is interested in it, so I most likely will. Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall. Harry Mulligan for Maestro. And Emma Stone for Poor Things. I can't really think of anybody I would take out of here. I haven't seen three of these, so I can't, but there were no other, actress performances that floored me enough that I would remove anyone here. For me, I think it's got to be Lily Gladstone, just because that was, I mean, I don't think she's been in anything that anyone would have ever seen before Killers of the Flower Moon. She absolutely wins that movie. I mean, she was just fantastic. So for me, that's the easy choice.
I think you can make some sort of an argument for maybe putting Emily Blunt in there, but I can't.
I think she's in supporting, though. She's in supporting, though, based on she's in that
Yeah,
movie.
We didn't get that far. Okay. Yeah, but I have to agree. Lily Gladstone is. I think she even snagged Golden Globe, right?
I think she did. Yeah, I didn't really look at those, but I'm pretty sure she did.
But honestly, I think you got to give it to her. I think she's most likely probably going to win it. I don't see anybody else getting that one.
Hey, Sarah, when you guys actually watched that 3.5 hour Scorsese movie?
She's not here right now. She went in the other room for a minute.
Okay. Can you tell her to take a recording of and give me a timestamp of at what point you start snoring during it?
I will tell her. But I was just looking at the Golden Globes list because I didn't really see many of who won. And Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone won for like separate categories because they do it separately. They
right,
do like
they the do comedy, thing, right?
comedy and musical, and then they do the other one, the drama one. So technically, they both won Golden Globes. So theoretically, if you go by the past, it's going to be one of them. It'll probably be Lily Gladstone just because I think Killers of the Flower Moon is the more like popular movie, I guess, amongst like artsy people. I mean, I guess Poor Things could be out, but who directed Poor Things?
Yorgos Lanthimos, that Greek guy who did The Lobster and Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with Gladstone, just because that's also Scorsese. And
unanimous there, then.
Yeah.
Right, so Best Supporting Actor, Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. I have seen three of these. I would take Gosling out and put in Jeremy Allen White from The Iron Claw. And I really didn't like De Niro in Killers either. I just felt like it was kind of a lazy performance, but I can't think of anybody offhand that I would put in his place. And for me, I haven't seen American Fiction yet, although I plan on it, and I love Sterling K. Brown. I would love to see him win this, but it's got to be Downey. I mean, other than Murphy, his up in Oppenheimer was just phenomenal, and I think he's fine. And to a certain extent, I think him winning this is going to be also sort of a career achievement thing in the sense of, like, he saved his career in the last few years. Like, he was unhireable prior to Iron Man, basically. And I think he'll get it as part because of that, because, like, everybody loves a good comeback story or whatever. But it also warrants it, too, because he's really good in that. So, yeah, I would replace Gosling and De Niro, although I only have one possible substitution. I'm trying to think of any other.
I can't really speak of substitutions just because I didn't really see. I mean, yeah again, 4 years for the movies, and I just couldn't find five people that I was thinking there.
Yeah.
You're obviously, you know, you're not going to give it to any lesser movies. And, you know, this is like totally off the field sort of thing, but you can nominate, and this goes back to the best actor, but you can find a way to squeeze Jim Caviezel.
Caviezel, you know what?
For Sound of Freedom. You know?
Oh, fuck
that's something that. Yeah,
you know what?
It's never going to be nominated. You know, but so, I'm saying, like, that's something that back in the day would find a way to squeeze in a nomination, but you don't get that now. So it's like, I can't, looking at the best supporting actors, like, you can't really name five people other than the ones that are here where I'm obviously going to be like, ooh, I definitely squeeze them in there. Because, I mean, looking at my, actually, like, you can give it to Donnie Yen or, you know, John. Wait, you can't really find anybody from Ferrari to give it to, because, you know,
because it's not there. Like, the only guy
in Adam Driver led movie. Yeah, but you know, and for the five people that are here, like, I can't really find a reason not to give it to Downey. This, I think he wins this one.
I just thought of who you could replace De Niro with. For me, at least. And I know why they didn't do this. Yeah. I'm sure they didn't want to split the vote between people in this movie, but take De Niro out and give it to Matt Damon.
Okay.
Yeah, but is he a supporting role?
Oppenheimer? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about an Oppenheimer. I was thinking Air. My bad.
Oh, no.
No.
He would definitely.
I completely forgot.
In fact, I forgot about Air.
I mean, you can put Ben Affleck there.
You could. That was really small though.
He did a pretty good job. I mean, I don't know how much the percentage that you have to be in the movie for a supporting role or whatever, but the guy who played I don't know his name. But the guy who played the inventor of Tetris, the Russian guy in that movie, he was really good. Like, what's his face that starred in it was good, but he was also really good. Edgerton. But the guy who was the inventor, like, he was really good. You know what I mean? And, you know, I don't know if he's in it enough for it to be considered a supporting role or whatever. Like, I don't know what the stuff is, but he did a really good job though of, like, counterbalancing, like, Edgerton and, like, you know, zigging where he zagged and stuff like that. It was really good.
Okay. Here's best supporting actor.
Speaking of Air, you can find a reason to put Viola Davis in there for the best female.
Viola Davis. What was she in this year? What am I forgetting?
She was in Air.
Oh, right. She was the mom.
She was George's mom. Yep.
Okay. Well, I have an obvious one we could slot her in for when we get to this list. Best supporting actress, Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple. Anyone who doesn't know who she is offhand, remember the African American woman in Peacemaker?
Yeah, okay.
That's who that was. America Ferrera in Barbie. Why? Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Devine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. So I would swap out America Ferrera for the person that you guys just suggested, who I already forgot.
Viola Davis.
Okay. Yep. So yeah. For me, I would probably give this to Devine Joy Randolph, because that role was, I know a lot of people are going to say Emily Blunt. And before I saw The Holdovers, I also would have said Emily Blunt. But I don't think that role is actually all that important to that movie, really. And Devine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers is, like, absolutely key to that movie, and she fucking destroys it. So you should absolutely get this award.
I think her performance in that movie was probably better than Paul Giamatti, to be honest with you. I loved her acting in it. I loved the emotion she brought to that, you know, to, you know, a woman who, you know, is a cook at a boarding school. You know, she, you know, the I mean, the kids respect her enough, but like obviously she doesn't get the recognition. She just goes there, she does her job. You know, she's good at what she does. She tells them all what to do in the back there. I mean, you get that sense of it. But then, like, you know, the emotion about losing her son, especially in Vietnam, you know, the emotion of her sister, you know, having a baby, you know what I mean? And, like, passing that stuff on, you know, like the baby clothes and the baby boots, you know what I mean? And seeing all that and all of that, bringing up that emotion in her. It's a really powerful role and a really powerful moving performance that she did in that movie. You know, obviously there were some like happier, joyous points. You know what I mean? Like the time that she spends with Paul Giamatti when like she's trying to get him out of his shell. And then like when she's spending time with the kid, you know, and trying to get him out of his shell. You know what I mean? You know, she's very much a connector. Yeah, she's awesome.
And going into that movie, I had no clue who she even was. And by the time we were done with it, I was just like, wow. You
know, I'm like, why isn't she even more?
As much as I like Giamatti, like, I think she, my lasting impression coming out of that movie was her, just because I was like, I have no clue who the person is, and she was awesome. But we're going to review that at some point in the near future, probably, so I don't want to say too much. So I think we're pretty much unanimous on that one as well. Best director, Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, and Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. My guess is this has to go to Nolan. I mean, if he's not going to win it for this, he's never going to win it for anything. He was previously nominated.
I'm of the same opinion. Yeah. I just don't see how he does.
He was previously nominated for Dunkirk, which I wouldn't have given it to him for anyway. But that's a decent movie. But I do think it was worth the nomination at least. But I don't think he could have won for that. But yeah, if he doesn't win for this one, he's not winning for anything ever. I could see Scorsese maybe, but I feel like, you know, retroactively, like this is a better movie than The Departed. Like, I get it. If you want to give it to him for this one, and there's obviously some messaging here that might appeal to the Academy and such. But I mean, I don't know. I think it's got to be Nolan. I might actually. This will be controversial, but I might actually take Scorsese out of it and replace him with Ben Affleck for Air. Because to me, like,
I wouldn't say it's controversial, but I get it.
Because to me, direction, as good as Killers of Flower Moon actually is, and it is, I don't think direction-wise there's anything in that that's particularly captivating, really. And there will probably be people that will say that about Air, but at the same time, like, it's this 2-hour movie where it's mostly people on the phone. And he somehow managed to make that really, really interesting. I mean, in a lot of cases, it's people having dialogue interactions that aren't even in the same room with each other. And yet, I was never like, what's going on here? This is boring, whatever. I did like Killer of the Flower Moon, and Justin, this is one of those moments where I know I usually shit on you for not liking really long movies as much, but I actually, when I went to see Killers in the theater, I think I fell asleep for a good half an hour and didn't feel like I'd missed anything, so.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if you fall asleep for 30 minutes during The Flower Moon, you're not going to miss anything. Yeah. You fall asleep for 30 minutes during Air, like, you're going to miss half a movie.
You're out of it, yeah, at that point. Because it just moves so much, there's no point of that you could duck out for that long and still have any clue.
Flower Moon, I'm guessing the other hand, like, yeah, you're right in it. Didn't miss anything.
Yep. Justin, I'm betting you haven't seen any of these yet, so I don't know what your thoughts are.
Let me look again. I don't think I saw any of them.
See this one. Didn't see this one. Didn't see this one. Nope, to this one, and not on this one.
I haven't seen any of them, but I'm assuming it's going to be Nolan. Based on, like I said, Golden Globes, he won it, and I don't think he's won an Oscar yet for directing. So this may also become another lifetime achievement thing, especially
after Nolan has not won yet. Nolan has not won yet.
Yeah, and so especially after the whole Dark Knight thing, and you know how that's where all of this came about with the more Best Picture nominations because of the Dark Knight. Everybody wanted that as a nominee. Blah 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 blah. You know, so eventually they opened it up to more people, and more films. But honestly, even though he hasn't made like the greatest movies, and I know we've been kind of going over this, the holdovers and stuff, but I think Alexander Payne did an excellent job directing that film. As somebody who, you know, I had seen Nebraska. The other one, Downsizing, wasn't all that great.
He did
Nebraska was okay, but.
I couldn't even finish Nebraska. It was so bad.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the directing wasn't that bad. You know what I mean? Like, the movie wasn't all that good. But, you know, this is one of those movies where it just, like, wait. Why the fuck am I getting thumbs up? This is, one of those movies where I'm like, wow, where was this, like, the rest of your career? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the acting that amplified the direction, but I just thought all the scenes he set up were great. And not really the visuals, but like the camera work and everything, which I know is a different thing, but once again he directs to do it. I thought everything was great, like the shots he set up. The interactions he did with the actors and stuff like that. I think everything was really great in that movie, and I'm surprised. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised because you can only put five people, and they have to put the ones that nobody's seen before to make it seem like they know something more than us. But I don't know. That's the only one I would love to see on this list, but it's definitely going to be Nolan.
Speaking of pain, have you seen Sideways ever?
No, because I was just looking at his list of movies, and Sideways was on there. I've never seen that one.
Yeah, I love Sideways. I'm not sure if the topic would be your thing, but it's another one of those movies where Paul Giamatti's fucking great, and
Paul Giamatti's in it?
Oh yeah, he's the star. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out.
Next on my list here is international feature film, which I suppose we can talk about. There's a good chance, Milos, maybe you've seen a couple of these.
We do have an international panelist.
Yep. So I'll throw them out. And pardon my the possibility that I might do some Justin-like mangling of names here.
Whoa! Okay, let's not use my name as a verb now. Okay.
Io Capitano from Italy, Perfect Days from Japan, Society of the Snow from Spain, The Teacher's Lounge from Germany, and The Zone of Interest from the United Kingdom. I have seen none of these, obviously, although I think Society of the Snow is on Netflix, so I probably could at least see that.
Yeah, I didn't see any of these. So.
Okay. So we'll just kind of skip this one then. Animated feature film. And I think we're coming. There's only a couple more big ones left. The Boy and the Heron, which I'm pretty sure is the new Miyazaki. Elemental, the Disney Bribe is in. The Disney Bribe being in full effect. Nimona, which I have no idea what that is. Robot Dreams and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I saw Elemental. It was fine. It's not on this level at all.
Nimona, I didn't see Nimona is on Netflix though, so I plan to watch it.
Okay.
Elemental, I saw. I'll look at that then. It was all right. Yeah. Elemental wasn't bad, surprisingly, for a Disney movie. It was fairly okay. Robo Dreams, yeah. I have no idea why it's there. But here's my big, I think my only big gripe so far doing all these nominations is animated. I think they blew it.
Because you want
the fact that you left Toro's turn. The fact that you left Super Mario Bros. Out of this is why, how, and
that's true.
Obviously, my top animated movie of the year is The Magician's Elephant that aired on Netflix. Again, not on here. It's okay. Like, again, why? I think it's vastly better movie than Elemental, and I'm gonna, you know. Nimona and even probably Robo Dragon. The Boy and the Heron didn't come to theaters in Croatia yet, but that's obviously something that you want to watch in original Japanese, not dubbed. But right. You know, Super Mario Bros. Right. Isn't here. Like, why? And The Magician's Elephant. Again, something. Those two movies definitely should have been on this list.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you need Super Mario Brothers on here. I don't know why it's not on here. Granted, this is weird because usually, like, you guys know, like, the animated stuff, I usually, like, end up going and finding once it's on, like, streaming stuff or whatever. I didn't really watch a ton of animation stuff this year, except for, like, Super Mario Brothers, Spider-Man, and then, like, some of the DC stuff that was, like, yeah. you know, like, the straight-to-video shit. But, yeah, you need to put, I mean, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, I know you guys, I think, are a little higher on it than I am. I thought it was all right, but, I mean, I definitely think if you're going to replace something and you need it to be, like, a popular movie, like, I definitely think you could replace Spider-Man with Super Mario Brothers. Granted, I haven't seen these other ones, so I don't know if you could have replaced any of those other ones with Super Mario Brothers. But
I'd replace Elemental with Super Mario.
Even Elemental, like the things I've heard about Elemental is that it's not good. It's not good. Yeah. And I don't know what's wrong with Disney Animation. Not to make this a rant about Disney Animation and what they've done to Pixar and everything like that, but like it's been very watered down. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what happened, like, ever since, like, COVID. And I don't want to use COVID as a reason, because even the movies that came out during COVID that were made in 18, 19, 17 are not good movies. They're not good animated films. And, like, I don't know what happened over there. I don't know if it's because of Lasseter and him leaving. And I know all the shit of, you know, the Me Too stuff and everything like that. That's awful, you know, and all that shit. But I mean, if one guy leaving destroys your whole animation department, the thing that you built the company on, I don't know. I think you got to relook at all of that.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Those people in charge.
I suspect, and I mean, I've heard this for years from, you know a lot, I read a lot of articles from, like, Hollywood Insider people and a couple of podcasts that reflect that as well. I would suspect that Mario Brothers is not in here because the animated feature film category tends to be the one that, from things that I always heard, is, like, subject to most, like, bribery in the campaigns and stuff. And I'm wondering if Universal or whoever made it just didn't do enough of that. But I would clearly replace all that with Mario Brothers. So
again, just goes to show you the validity of Oscars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, what? You know? Because, I mean, and I know this has been topic of conversation before, but, you know, this is one of the, like, I'm looking, and this has been true for past years as well, but just looking at, like, usually the best animated movies, it's just a whole lot of people there shouldn't be nominated, and there's always the movie or a couple of them that come out that are big that are never on the list. And honestly, like, I can overlook pretty much everything else, but when you look at the animation list, it's just like you can just show like, yeah, it's like nobody really cares unless it's basically top director, top movie, and then top, you know, female, male, and supporting and main actor, actresses. That's it. Like, that's really like everything else. You know, it's just a stat that you use. You know, Black Panther won, you know, 3 Oscars, and like they were for costume and visual effects and whatnot. You know, like you got 5, 6, you know, 7 tops. They're really the ones that matter. And even there, like, people get it wrong more than they get it right. So it's like just, you know, like, they want, you want me to care about the Oscars? Like, put an effort in. Because you're not. Like, you know, you care about red carpet and giving out the Golden Globe, the Golden Statue or whatever, and give baskets there, you know, like, you know, gifting is like $400,000. Come on, man. Like, you want to rub it in my face?
And honestly, I don't think that some of these people who voted for it could get past the fact that Chris Pratt was in it. And Chris Pratt is a guy who's not really like, it's not so much that he's hated in Hollywood, but like in certain circles, you know, they view him as a certain type of person where if you talk to people who know him,
trying not to be conservative.
Yeah, you know, basically they attack him for his political views and for like being a churchgoer and stuff like that. And there's been like things about the church that he goes to being like anti-gay or whatever. And he said it's not true. The people around him said it's not true. And then, you know, but like everybody he works with, like James Gunn, Zoe Saldana, you know, Dave Bautista, all these guys that have worked with him have said that this guy is a great guy, nice guy. You know, you couldn't find a better person to be around. You know what I mean? And it's just sad that, like, what basically seems like it's probably a political view thing, you know, is probably stopping his movies from, like, you know, getting, like, any kind of recognition, you know, which is sad because he's a really good actor. And this was a really good film. You know, and I like the way they switched in between, like, you know, the Mario world and then the regular world. And, you know, I at first I thought it was going to be weird that Mario didn't sound like, oh, hey, it's a me, I'm Mario. But, you know, it worked. It worked with the whole thing. And I don't know.
That would have gotten really annoying if they did that.
It's one of only 2 movies this year that grossed over $1 billion, and it's not on the list. Like, there's a reason why there's a reason why it's the second highest grossing movie of the year. People enjoyed it. Why did they enjoy it? Because it's a good movie. And speaking of Chris Pratt and the fact that he's not loved, I'm going to make a bold prediction for next year's Oscar, and I'm going to say that Garfield is not going to be nominated for the best animated movie.
Oh, is he doing that Garfield movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Okay. I mean, it could be hot lasagna, but I mean, you know, who knows? You know what I mean? Like, it could probably be an thing.
And he's not going to get nominated.
You know, who knows? But I mean, regardless, unfortunately,
I certainly hope I'm wrong. But I don't know.
Me too. But unfortunately, unfortunately, this all just becomes a political nightmare. And it's like, you know, we go to the movies and we watch movies and stuff to get away from that shit. And that's all these things end up becoming is like political things when it comes to the awards. And it's like, why don't you just focus on the workmanship and not the person behind it? You know what I mean? There's plenty of movies. We've had this discussion before about like, you know, can you separate the person from the movie or whatever, or the person from the art? Like, I still listen to, you know, Michael Jackson's music. I still watch Lethal Weapon. I still watch The Cosby Show. I still watch all of this shit because it's good. You know what I mean? It's great. You know what I mean? I don't say, oh, you know, Annie Hall is still one of my favorite movies of all time. Manhattan is still one of my favorite movies of all time. Woody Allen is a fucking freak show. But I don't put that into the movie because that has nothing to do with the movie. That has to do with the person. You know what I mean? Sure. Mel Gibson's a little fucking nuts. But you know what? Him and Danny Glover are fucking magic in those Lethal Weapon movies. You know what I mean? You know, sure. Yep. You know, something did something happen at Neverland Land Ranch? Probably. But, you know, they still dance the fucking Thriller. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Okay. Like, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
I know some people can't get over it and, you know, make it like a, you know, soapbox to, you know, stand on. But you know what? Life's too short.
Well, I have one more I want to hit just because these are the kind of movies we generally talk about on this show. So I think it's worth bringing up the visual effects category for this year. The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon.
A category I've seen 4 of the 5 movies.
Which one didn't you see, Napoleon?
No, Napoleon, Godzilla.
Oh,
you Godzilla. Saw Napoleon?
Godzilla Minus One is the only one I haven't seen, and I want to see it, but by the time I was able to go see it, it was kind of like out of my area, but then like I think the black and white one came in, and then Josh kept saying don't see the black and white one first, so now I've just been waiting for it to be able to stream it, and I don't think that's going to happen until like March or April or something,
I might actually try to go to it. It looks, I mean, I've literally no interest in Godzilla for the most part, but I've been hearing so many good things about it, I can't help at least consider it. For me, it would probably be the Creator.
He played for a week here, and it was nice. He just played the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but it was on.
Really?
I wasn't here. I wasn't in Croatia there. I couldn't go to the movies. I was working. I wasn't in town.
Oh, okay.
I was in Croatia, but I wasn't in town, so I couldn't go see it. That's the one where I was like, I really, really would have liked to see that one.
Yeah. For me, this would probably be the Creator. Guardians of the Galaxy, the effects were good, but I mean, I don't feel like they're any different than the other two movies were. So, I mean, you know, there was nothing to me that was like revolutionary in the effects for this one that wasn't already in the other two. So, you know, that's not to shit on them. They were quite good, but I just don't, there was nothing outstanding enough where I'm like, yeah, give it to that one. And Dead Reckoning, unless it's for the train bit, like, I don't know what it would have been for. I haven't seen Napoleon.
Yeah, again, speaking of somebody who didn't see, well, I didn't see Napoleon yet, and I didn't see Godzilla Minus One. But of the three that I did, Creator, probably, if you don't want to go repetitive, but I honestly, I could see a world in Guardians win it. I get the Creator being a kind of popular choice if you don't want to go Guardians route, but I can see Guardians winning it.
I just wonder if not enough people saw the Creator for anybody to care.
I would go with you, John. I would say the Creator should probably win. The one that will win, honestly, I'm kind of leaning towards Napoleon as the one that will win, just because of all the name recognition behind it. I didn't think it was very good visually. I didn't really like the movie all that much. I thought it was just kind of meh. I'm with you. I don't understand why Dead Reckoning is on here. Isn't there a separate one for like stunts and stuff?
There should be.
They've been pushing for it for years, but it never really happened.
Yeah, I don't think that category exists, but people have been angling for it for a long time.
That's probably why they put it in here.
Well, here's the thing. Like, just, you know, look at Mission Impossible. Like, you got stunts there. Like, you look at everything that they did with John Wick. It's crazy that you're not going to recognize it.
John Wick is in, like, choreography character.
Yeah. But, like, go going back when I did this stuff, just voice, when we did the YouTube stuff, like, we, you know, that was one thing. Like, you can, if somebody who likes action movies, you just cannot go there and not appreciate everything the stunt people do. The fact that they still don't have a recognized category in the Oscars, to me, is bonkers, because we're going to literally recognize anything else and everything else, but we're not going to, when it comes to stuntmen, you're gonna be like, oh, they have their own reward. Like, come on. You know, take stuntmen out of this, yeah, like half the movies that you release, push out, wouldn't be half as good as they are. So there's people who actually dedicate their whole lives to a single craft of getting their asses kicked or jumping off buildings or driving motorcycles or cars or whatever, and you're not going to recognize that as something that's vital to the movie industry. I'm never not going to understand that. I think that's stupid.
I'm wrong. There isn't a choreography category. I thought there was.
No, there should be, but there isn't.
Oh. 100%, 100%. Get rid of Mission Impossible and put John Wick there. Like, I get it, like the visuals and stuff, but a lot of those visuals are not like visual effects. They're real things. They film this stuff like in canyons. They film this stuff on like the edge of mountains. That should be more on like the cinematography end of it, not really the visual effects end. I think this is where they get like the wrong people to vote for this shit. Like, John Wick should be in there for, like, the visual effects if you're going to mix in, you know, choreography and stunts along with, like, the sci-fi stuff. You know what I mean? Like, John Wick should definitely be in there, and John Wick would have been the winner if he was in there, and you're counting visual effects as also, like, stunt choreography. Because the stuff that they did, and kudos to the stunt actor who fell down all those fucking stairs in John Wick. You know what I mean? But based on who's there, I would give it to the creator, because the creator was able to seamlessly go back and forth, you know, between like the humans and the robots and, you know, all that stuff. And honestly, at times, like, I didn't know what was what, and until they like did it, and even when they like showed the shit, like, I'm like, oh, that's like a real thing, you know, that's not computer generated. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it clearly is. You know, I think they did a great job with the creator in terms of that.
And I agree with you about John Wick on that staircase bit. I'm reminded of the one time that I watched it, and Corey came in like partway through it, and she walked in right as I was watching that staircase bit, and she stopped for a second. We just kind of looked at it, and she just kept going, "Ow, ow." Jesus. As it just went on and on and on. Were there any other categories you guys wanted to hit here? We've hit everything I wanted to, but there might be some other ones.
So before we move on to the different categories, there's one thing that, now that we've been talking about the creator, that I probably should have mentioned.
Okay.
Somebody that I would have loved to have seen got some kind of recognition would have been John David Washington. In that movie, because I think he did a fantastic job as that lead character.
He did.
I think that's like one of the best things I've seen him in. The fact that he didn't really get a ton of recognition is a little disappointing. But you know,
I think he got nominated for something a couple years ago. Maybe it was the Spike Lee movie.
I'm gonna
check actually.
I'm just looking at the music and original song.
Hit that one.
And so it's The Fire Inside from Flaming Hot, music and lyric by Dane.
That's that movie about fucking Cheetos.
Wait, is it a movie about Cheetos?
It's literally a movie about the guy who came up with the idea for the fucking Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Oh, I was about to make a Cheetos joke, and I did not realize that was actually what it was about.
Okay, that exists.
Yes.
Oh man.
I'm just Ken from Barbie.
If that were the one thing that Barbie won for, I'd be okay with it, because that song is hilarious.
That was awesome. It never went away from American Symphony. Music and lyrics by Leon Baptiste and Dan Wilson. Wazazi, a song for my people, from Killer of the Flower Moon. Music and lyrics by Scott George. And What Was I Made For? From Barbie again. Music and lyrics by Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell. I would take out What Was I Made For? Because you don't need two Barbie songs. And a thousand Koopas couldn't keep me from you.
How beaches, was that not?
Beaches. Why is Peaches not on this fucking thing? Jack Black needs to be nominated for that fucking song.
Yeah, how was that?
I was singing that song.
He goes to the whole. The Super Mario Bros. Has been blacklisted by the Oscars. You know, because if you put it in there for any other thing, you're gonna have to ask her like, why is it nominated? Like, why are you giving it best music song, but you're not giving them the best, you know, the animated movie nominations? So it's best to not nominate them for anything and then completely avoid the questions. So nobody's gonna ask why is this one nominated, because, you know, I didn't read any snub lists, but I have to ask, like, is Super Mario Bros. Even on any snub list?
And then if you look at the original scores, because they separate them, you have American Fiction by Laura Karpman, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny by John Williams, Killers of the Flower Moon by Robbie Robertson, some name. Oppenheimer by Ludwig Göransson, and Poor Things by Jertskin Fendrix. Wow.
Which, say that the Oppenheimer score is in reality just a lot of
You know, I mean, sue me, but, like, you know, a lot of, like, Nolan music, like, everybody, like, fanboys out for, like, the soundtracks and shit. I just think it always sounds, like, awful. Every time I hear, like, anything from Nolan, like, I think, like, the music is awful and that stuff. And then, look, John Williams is the GOAT, okay? You know, he was able to take the same five songs and use them for five different or whatever, and they all sound different, and, you know, but you can pick up on it. But I don't think there was anything spectacular about his stuff in Indiana Jones. In the Dial of Destiny.
You know why they did it?
It's because it's his last movie.
Because he's talking about retiring after that movie was done.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you know, if that's what you want to do, then that's fine. But I don't think it was something that should have been recognized, unfortunately. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, him doing that movie was like Jordan and the Wizards. You know what I mean? It's, you know,
or Jordan as the owner of the Hornets.
It's like Brady and the Bucks. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yeah, but Brady didn't want to.
Well, he did. It's still not what you want to remember him for.
You know what True. I mean? Enough. Yep.
But
okay. Well, this has been an interesting conversation, I think. Yeah, we do have a little bit of off-air stuff I want to go over when we're done here. So, hoping to get to Napoleon soon, and we can probably do something on that. I'll watch the holdovers again, and we can do something on that.
Napoleon? Did I miss that?
I have not. I bought it. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, wow.
It just came out it was only in theaters.
John Williams has 52 Oscar nominations and he has 5 wins. So honestly, if you want to do something to recognize it, last movie that he's ever going
to do. Yeah, give him a Lifetime one.
Because, I mean, they're giving Lifetime ones anyways. Like they always give them, like this year they're giving them, I saw it last summer. The honorary awards go to Angela Bassett, Mel Brooks, and Carol Littleton. Because like next year, just give one to John Williams. Nobody's going to complain. Yeah. Like, he's really one of the best, you know, he's best to ever do it. So it's like if you give him a Lifetime Achievement Award next year, like nobody's going to bat an eye at all. And honestly, you're going to give him one like 4 or 5 years when he's no longer doing movies. So, like, I see no problem. Yep. Like, because Indiana Jones, I get why he's getting it for it, but that score is not different than any of the previous four movies. And this one, unfortunately, is probably the worst of the five.
It was better than Crystal Skull, not by a ton. I would personally put it over Temple because I can't stand fucking Kate Capshaw.
It doesn't go over any of the trilogy for me. But.
No, any of the good ones. Anyway. So good discussion here, boys. So, yeah, we'll plan on some stuff to maybe do while, you know, because I'm going to be wide open for about 2.5 weeks so we can do all kinds of shit. We should have an off-air discussion about the Star Wars thing just because I want to figure out exactly what you're showing her, and then we can figure out what we want to do.
Okay.
So, all right. So let me just stop this here, and we can... All right.
Later.